Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for this glorious day that you have made. Father, open our eyes to see not only the beauty of your creation, but the beauty of the gift of sending us a Savior, a Redeemer, one who would reconcile us to you. Father, we need that today. We need to know that you are here. We ask that you come and do a mighty work of your grace among us. And so to that end, we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Transform us more and more into the image of our Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as many of you know, this Sunday we are moving into a new season in the life of the church. It's actually the beginning of the new year for us in the church. It's the season of Advent, and you'll notice a few things changing. The colors that we wear, we went from green in the ordinary season that we were in to royal blue today, and the season ahead toward Advent. The royal blue reminds us of the royalty of the King, the majesty of the King of Kings who has come among us. The season of Advent are the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And they're an intentional time of the year that would help us prepare in a greater way for the glory and beauty of Christmas, the Savior coming among us. And what we find as we enter into and journey through the season of Advent, we find ourselves swept up into the story of the Old Testament. We're going to be looking this season at passages from the Old Testament. And as we do, we find that we're swept up with them. People who lived with an anticipation that a king would come, a savior who would rescue them from the bondage that they were enslaved in, one who would restore their hope that the broken things of their lives and this world could actually be different than the way they had been. You see, as we look back, we find ourselves in the story. Because the reality is we're no different in many senses from the Israelites. We too are people who struggle living in bondage of sin, don't we? We too are people who are longing to be rescued, longing to live with a hope that things can actually be different than they were yesterday. You see, you and I live in this in-between time, the in-between time from the first Advent to the second. As theologians call it, it's the already but not yet. Isn't that good? It's the already. Christ has come, and he's come, and we get a foretaste of the glory of heaven and many other gifts in there. But the kingdom hasn't been fully consummated yet. There is still more to come. And so we live in this in-between time, and this season of Advent helps us remember that we are living in this in-between time. You see, it's not just about us remembering the birth of a Savior. It is that, but it's more. It's about living in this season ahead with the growing anticipation that the King is coming back. He has come, and he is coming back. This is not a time that we live in limbo in this already but not yet time. It's not that we live in a time of indifference just waiting to go to heaven. Friends, it matters, and you've heard me say this a lot, it matters how we live. It matters how we live in this in-between time. You see, when Christ came, he began to make the world right. He began to take the broken things of this world and turn them right side up, and that's why we live with a hope today that things actually can be different. And for many of you, you could say, yes, things are different because the Savior has come. But we've got to learn to live intentionally into this. Because what God has chosen to do is through you and through me to bring the light of the kingdom of God to bear in this world. That through our lives, we are helping bring justice back into the world. We are helping bring peace back into the world and goodness back into this world that God is restoring. You see, friends, our lives today are to be lived in this way. That we would live preparing for the new kingdom to come. We're not just sitting back waiting for it. We have an intentional role to play as we see God begin to bring greater and greater restoration among us every day. And here's what we're going to see this morning as we look at Isaiah chapter 2, the verses that were read a moment ago. Two things. First, if we're going to live this out, if we're really going to live in light of the kingdom coming in a greater way, then you and I have to be people who are living with an expectant hope. Living with an expectant hope. And with that expectant hope, we are responding daily to the invitation that Christ brings us to come to Him. And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at. First, the expectant hope that we have because of the first advent and the second coming. And then secondly, we're going to look at this great call to come to Christ. So you read in your bulletin, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. We begin to see what this expectant hope is. He begins this prophetic word by saying, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it." What's happening here in Isaiah chapter 2 is this: God is bringing His people a message of hope, a message of expectant hope, and they need to hear it. And if you've read the book of Isaiah, it's quite long, but the first chapter is not a message of hope. It does not begin with a message of hope. It actually begins with a very stern, strong message of judgment. In the opening words of Isaiah, we begin to see that God is bringing a lawsuit against His people. A lawsuit against His people. You may ask, why? Because they've continued to rebel against Him over and over and over again. You see, God is a long-suffering God. He's a patient God. But boy, did His people try His patience. And in order to get their attention, to kind of shake them up, He was, in a sense, bringing a lawsuit against them because they continued to rebel and not heed His call to come back. So that's how it opens. But I love right away in chapter 2, right after that, what do we see? We see that there is a message of hope. The prophecy begins with these words, "It shall come to pass." Now, it can be real easy to just read that and just keep going, but I want to stop there for a minute because this is crucial for us to understand. He said, "And it shall come to pass." What Isaiah was predicting hadn't happened yet, but it was about to happen. It would happen. Do you know why? Because God said that it would. God said that it would. Listen, friends, to live with an expectant hope, we have to see that God is always faithful to His word. This is who He is. And when He wrote, when Isaiah wrote this word from God, "And it shall come to pass," that is a hope for the Israelites. That is a hope for you and me that what God says will happen because He is God. And His word is true. Friends, the hope of the Christian is based not on, "I hope it will happen," but on the sure certainty that God is always faithful to His word. God is always faithful to His promises. And this hope, we see, brings peace in our lives, doesn't it? When we come with not a wishful hoping, but an expectant hope, because we know that what God says is going to happen. And so what does that mean for you and me today? When we're faced with situational uncertainties, and they happen to us every day, we can know that God is always faithful to His word when He said, "And it shall come to pass." They lived with an expectant hope that one day it would come to pass, that the Savior would come. We know He's already come. We know that God is faithful to His word. Friends, here's the thing. Hope builds in our lives as we fix our eyes on Jesus. Hope builds in us when we live with an expectancy, knowing that what He said will come about. I wonder what you're hoping today. What are those situational uncertainties that are before you right now? Just think about them. I'm sure you can come up with a list. that you hope that God will intervene, that you hope that God will move in there. I want you to hear this morning as you can come with an expectancy, because God is always faithful to his word. He said, "It shall come to pass," and it did, because Christ came. But you see, here's the thing. If we don't have hope, what are we left with? You see, if we're not coming with an expectant hope, what do we have? Well, can I tell you what the opposite of hope is? It's despair. And despair leads us to depression and anxiety. The opposite of hope is cynicism. We become cynical about life in general. We become indifferent. That's what a hopeless life looks like. Despair, cynicism, indifference. And when we begin to let that hopelessness creep into our lives, do you know what we find? We find unhealthy coping patterns taking place. I wonder what those are for you. Let me just name a few. Some of us can isolate ourselves. We just pull away. We don't want to be around anyone else. We stay distracted because we don't have anything to base our hope on. We get involved in all kinds of substance abuse, because that becomes our hope, because we don't have a hope in the Savior coming and being present with us in these challenging, uncertain situations of our lives. This happens when we fail to see our part in the larger story, doesn't it? When we fail to come to see and live with an expectant hope. But friends, here's the wonder of Advent. The wonder of Advent is this, is that Christ has come and he's coming back. So whatever is weighing you down, know that he's come, but he's coming back, and he will ultimately restore all things. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote, speaking of hope, in Romans 15, verse 13. He wrote, now listen to this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Isn't that good? Did you see what he said? Did you catch it? May the God of all hope. That's who God is. If you're looking for hope this morning, come to the God who is the God of all hope. And friends, I love that the last part of what Paul said, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Do you know what's different about us from the Israelites in the Old Testament? We live today knowing the Savior has come. Today, the gift of the Holy Spirit is with us, in us, that gives us strength to actually be able to change. Now, let me tell you this. Your situation, your circumstance may not change. What you're going through may be there for a while, but the hope is that Christ has come, and he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is with us in those circumstances. So can I tell you the greater thing that happens? It's not that the situations change. It's that we change. We are being transformed by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And friends, I believe as we are changed, you know what we begin to see happen? The situations around us begin to change. They begin to look a little different because we're living in light of the hope that is ours in Christ now. Friends, our hope is in the trustworthiness of God, isn't it? Otherwise, we have no hope. But look at what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. We looked at this a number of weeks ago. He said, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory." All the promises of God find their yes in him. I wonder, do you know the promises that he has said yes to for you? Do you know those promises? The promise of a redeemer? Who has come, who's come to give us new life and live within us. And I love it. Going back to Isaiah, the God who brought a lawsuit against his people because of their rebellion. And you and I are included in that, by the way. Do you know what he did? In coming, he took the penalty of their sin and ours on himself on the cross. That's the promise, that he came to actually do something with what we could not do on our own. And if he did that for us, friends, he will give you everything you need. Right where you are, The invitation is to come and trust in the trustworthiness of God. Advent helps us live with an expectant hope. So as you journey through this season, I want you to begin with saying, God, show me this hope. Show me in a greater way this hope that is really mine in Christ. And I want you to remember that God is committed to making the things that are wrong in this world right. I don't know if you've noticed in the lighting of the Advent candle this morning, and the word is on the wall. This is the Sunday of hope, that we're reminded of the light of hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the rest of this morning, as you worship and you're longing to be reminded of this hope, look at that candle, the candle of hope, the light of the Savior with us. So as we come with an expectant hope, we also come because we've been given an invitation to come. Look at verse 3. Isaiah wrote, "And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of our God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Now, you read that and you think, what is this mountain? What is this mountain of the Lord that is higher than any other mountain? Do you know what it is? It's the Lord himself. It's a picture, it's a foreshadowing of Christ, the ultimate mountain that people go to find hope, to find life, to find lives transformed. Friends, what this invitation is, it's an invitation to come to Christ. This morning, the invitation is to come to the holy mountain, who is Christ himself, that he would teach us his ways, that we would be people who learn to walk in his path. Do you know what happens when we come into the presence of the Lord? I love this. When we come into the holy mountain, the presence of Christ, do you know what happens? We're changed. You cannot go before the presence of the holiness of God and walk away unchanged. But when we come to Christ, we find that we become different people. You've probably heard this before. Who you spend time with is who you become. You ever heard that concept? Who you spend time with is who you become. Psychologists have noted this. We will become what we think about most of the time, and what we think about is greatly determined by who we spend the most amount of time with. We become like the one that we spend the most amount of time with. And it's noted that happy people have happy friends, right? Smart people have smart friends. Hardworking people have hardworking friends. We just rub off on each other. There's something about that. I have a good friend, his name is Link. We served together at our church in Houston for many years. And the first time I heard Link get up and preach, he's this tall guy, and he has this deep voice like this, like a radio announcer. And I heard him preach, and I was like, I've heard that voice somewhere. And I watched his mannerisms, and I heard the things he was saying, words and phrases. And it wasn't that he stole someone else's sermon, but he had this certain way of projecting, and I loved it. And I remembered a few weeks later, after that first time I had heard him preach, I was in my car listening to one of my favorite people I love to listen on the radio. His name is Steve Brown. He was a professor at a seminary in Orlando, Florida, has a radio show, and I heard it, and I realized, that's where Link got it from. Link sat under his teaching for 4 years in seminary. They had the same kind of voice. Link sat under him, and when you heard him, it was like you were hearing Steve Brown himself. I wonder who you're spending most of your time with. I wonder what it's like. Are you going up to the mountain? Are you going and spending time with the Lord? Because, friends, when we do, we become transformed more and more into his image. I wonder if people can tell you've been up on the mountain. Can they tell you've been with Christ? Friends, maybe the invitation for you in this season of Advent, it's not to just begin to develop a greater expectant hope, but it's to come and spend time with the Savior. It's to come into His presence and sit and listen and be still. Come and take His word and open it and let it become a glorious message in your heart of Christ speaking directly to you, that you don't just come and read it and walk away, but you are encountering the Savior on the mountain. Oh, that we would be people at St. Andrew's who spend a lot of time on the mountain, who spend time with the Savior, that we begin to look like He looked. We begin to walk in His ways in a greater and greater light. You see, one thing happens when we come into His presence through this passage we see. He transforms us into being people of peace. That's one of the great blessings of sitting with the Savior. Look at verse 4. Isaiah writes, "And He shall judge between the nations, and He shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall come and beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Do you know what's happening here? Isaiah is calling his people to lay down their weapons of war. They'd warred against each other. They made war against God. And he's coming and saying, lay down your weapons, because I'm going to transform them into something different. I'm going to transform those weapons of destruction into tools of peace. You see, that's what the Savior does, my friends. And I love it because he doesn't just say, lay down your weapons. Did you see what he said? He said, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." Those weapons are going to be transformed into instruments of peace. You know, there are all kinds of weapons that we use to tear one another down, aren't there? A lot of weapons. One of them is words. The way we use our words against each other, we're really good at that, sadly. We do things that build up walls, that bring division between ourselves and others. But I love this. As people who once made war against one another and once made war against God, when we go up to the mountain, guess what? We are changed. We are changed from warriors into people of peace. Friends, that's what the Savior does when we sit in His presence. He transforms us into people of peace. You see, only when we encounter the one who brought us peace can we be people of peace. So in this season of Advent, as you journey on in these days ahead, my prayer is for us at St. Andrew's is that we would come with an expectant hope, and that we would journey up the mountain, not just for 10 minutes in the morning, but maybe for 15, maybe the next day 20, and maybe in 3 weeks it's 30 minutes that we're there on the mountain with the Lord in His presence, praising Him, worshiping Him, being transformed by Him, learning His ways. Why? So that we can walk in them and be people of peace. Oh, that the city would see the people of St. Andrew's to be a people of peace. In all the different spheres of influence that you have in the city, ask the Lord to transform you more into a person of peace, and we will see the light of Christ shine in its brilliance in the city. So, friends, this is our journey. The journey into this season of Advent. And we begin with an expectant hope and the invitation to come. So will you come and sit in the presence of the Lord? Father, we lay all of this at your feet. I thank you that you have brought us a Redeemer, one that even though we've made war, even with people today, that as we come into your presence, you transform us into people of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, transform us, strengthen us, remind us of the hope. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.